We're joined on the phone now by Barry Johnson. He's down in the Twin Cities, and he has just published a book that he put together of essays about the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Buck and Ann. How are you?
We're good. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Well, I have to say, I told you this off the air. I bought this book this week and read the whole thing, and it's so delightful.
Well, thank you so much. I had a lot of fun putting it together.
Well, clearly you did. It's really fun, and I was impressed at the variety of essays in here. But I'd like to start out by just asking you, tell our listeners a little bit about how you decided to put this book together. Why was it important to you?
I've been going to the Boundary Waters for over 20 years, and during that time, I've heard stories from friends, from colleagues, from strangers, from outfitters, from reading online blogs, and I had a few stories of my own, and I just knew virtually anybody who's gone up there more than once or even once has some great stories to tell, and so I thought, why not try to package them together and share them out?
Mm-hmm. And how did you find these essays?
You know, about a year ago, I got serious about the project, so I sort of got the idea formulated in my head. I put together a website, and after that, I wrote a lot of letters. I talked to writing organizations. I wrote to universities. I wrote to Outward Bound and YMCA. I just shook the bushes as best I could to find people who would have gone to the Boundary Waters and might have an interest in writing up their stories.
Mm-hmm. And how many submissions did you get?
I got about 500 essays.
Wow.
That was great. I mean, they were all over the board. We had a word limit of 2,000 characters, and some people exceeded that because they had these epic tales to tell. But the fun job and the hard job was wading through the 500 stories, and I really had to make some tough choices, too.
I bet. Now, did you have a group of people helping you with that, or did you do it alone? Tell us about how you did that.
I did it primarily myself, but I worked with two other people. One was another professional communicator, and then one was somebody that I've gone to the Boundary Waters with forever. And so the three of us jointly made some decisions about what to include and, sadly, what we couldn't include.
Mm-hmm. And how many ended up in the book? I didn't count them.
I haven't counted them either, but you know what? I'd say there's probably upwards of a couple of dozen or more.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, sounds very interesting. So tell us about, I saw how the book is divided up into different topics. Tell us about what topics and themes sort of emerged from your sorting process. It seems like they fell into kind of various camps, no pun intended.
They did. I mean, one of them that was great because I sort of love the elderly. I have a great love for the elderly, and I got a lot of essays from some older folks, and they fell into a category called Days Gone By. And one of my favorites is from a professional writer and storyteller named Iron Mike Hillman out of Ely, and he talked about the Boundary Waters prior to federal designation and how the locals sort of informally divided up the lakes, and it's really a great tale. And there's a few other tales about people who went up there in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one history section. We also had, you know, fish tales, misadventures and mishaps that were fun, animal encounters, and they ranged from red squirrels and bears, which you would expect, to some moose and some bobcat and some other animals. And then one chapter called From the Heart, which is just some very touching personal stories about how the wilderness has changed people.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite or a couple of favorites in this book?
Which is your favorite child? That's like asking that. I love them all for different reasons, but I have two that that kind of stand out for me.
Would you be willing to read a very brief passage from one of those?
I would love to. I'm going to pick an essay called A Pre-Marriage Lesson, and it was submitted by a couple called Lisa and Duncan. Lisa did the writing, and they requested that their last name be withheld and not published. And as I read this, you'll understand why. After a few hours of paddling, we found a perfect private campsite. Prior to the trip, I explicitly asked that we find a secluded site, and this one delivered. Duncan lodged the Kevlar canoe between two large trees near the shore. I cautioned him against it. My preference would have been to pull the canoe right up next to the tent. He reminded me that I tend to worry about worst-case scenarios. He said the canoe would be fine. It was a lovely, calm evening, so no need to worry. Famous last words. A storm blew in, and strong winds rocked and rattled our tiny tent. I was so concerned about trees falling us, I didn't even think about the canoe. The canoe! Our lifeline! Our link back to civilization! The next morning, I beelined to the shore, and the canoe was gone. Hoping for the best, I asked Duncan, "Honey, did you move the canoe?" He furrowed his brows, then looked down to the shore. Our canoe had disappeared. Our eyes searched the perimeter of the lake, hoping to see that big yellow belly of a canoe bulging out on the shoreline. Nothing.
I love that. So I have to ask, are they still married?
As of a few months ago, when I reached out to them, they were married.
Excellent. That's good news.
Yeah.
Well,
they were stranded for 6 days in the Boundary Waters without a canoe.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's what's fun about these stories is they really ran the gamut from that kind of thing to, I really enjoyed one at the very beginning from the woman who spent her honeymoon in 1947 in the pre-Boundary Waters wilderness. I thought that was very cool.
She took up, at that time, a surplus World War II backpack to get in there. Yeah,
the little details. The details in these essays like that are what really make them intriguing.
The writers did I'm so proud of the writers, and their stories are just really compelling. They did a great job.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say the most whimsical one to me was the one where the woman takes the baby robin with her on a canoe trip because she didn't want to leave it at home and not feed it.
Right. and had to stop multiple times to try to dig for worms to feed the bird.
I thought that was pretty sweet.
That was a great one.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Barry Johnson. He is a professional communicator down in the Twin Cities, and he put together a book of essays about the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Barry, I noticed that this is volume one. There's a volume two in the works then?
Well, this is I did a crazy thing, and I self-published this. Mm-hmm. So I'm my own publisher. I'm looking to sell enough of these to help me finance a volume two, and I think that'll happen. Sales have been pretty good. I've got, 4 or 5 retail outlets, and then it can also be purchased online. But I'm very much interested in a volume two.
Great. Let's switch gears a little bit. There's also some really fun trivia questions in the book. Now, how did you come up with those?
You know, that was basic research. I've got a journalism degree, and so I did some online research. I spent quite a bit of time at the Minnesota Historical Society in their library, which is fantastic, and then other standard libraries. One of the cool things that I found I dug out of the stacks at the Historical Society was an actual invitation sent by Edward Backus to his newsprint customers. Now, he was the guy who wanted to put up dams in the Boundary Waters in the Quetico in the mid-20s.
Right.
That would have changed it. And it's a fascinating look at the pre-BWCA effort to develop the area.
You actually reproduce this somewhat in this book, right, at the very end?
Yeah, we print a portion of that invitation, and the actual invitation is at the Historical Society. It's beautifully printed, and it's packaged in a specially designed cloth envelope. It's very elegant. And it just gives you a sense of the money that was at play and the work that that Ernest Oberholzer's and others had to do to fight that development push.
Interesting.
I have another fun trivia question.
Sure.
And I hope you won't make me tell the answer.
Okay. But
this was dug out of the Historical Society, and it was some of the materials that talked about visits to the early BWCA. This was actually in 1968. When you went to the BWCA in 1968, you were, of course, issued a permit, but you were issued one other item. What was that item?
Can Buck and I guess?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. What was that item? It's a tangible thing?
Yes.
I should know that. I actually worked in the Boundary Waters at that time.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Building campsites and portages.
So what did they issue?
I never had to get a permit or be handed anything.
This is probably too obvious. It can't be the answer. A garbage bag.
You are correct.
Hey.
Really?
Good job, man.
At the time, users were, quote, requested to burn all burnable garbage and to carry out non-burnable garbage. So you can imagine what the fire smelled like up there and the fact that they were voluntarily trying to get people to haul out their garbage rather than, I think at the time, Buck, the practice was to pop a hole in a can and sink it to the bottom of the lake, right?
That used to be the practice in the old days, that's for sure, yes.
Yeah, so that's just one of the trivia questions. We've got quite a few in the book.
Wow, fun. I love that. Is this the first thing you've published, Barry?
Actually, I'm a big fisherman, and my essay in the book talks about my first lake trout experience. But years ago, I did, you know, those page-a-day calendars?
I do. I love those.
I did a page-a-day calendar about fishing for a series of years.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you say you're a professional communicator. What exactly do you do?
I work in corporate communications for a company in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
And I will say a year ago when things were a little bit rocky at the company, I thought I should look at other things to keep me busy and put my skills to work. And those are writing, editing, and experience with design and printing. And those came together, and this is the end result.
Smart. And you still have your job.
I do. It's a lot less rocky here, and I have the book, so it's a double win.
Well, we're glad for you then. So when are you, I guess if you take a Boundary Waters trip every year, have you already done yours this year?
I did, and I had an unusual experience. I broke my foot on the night before we were going to Portage out. We went in through Gunflint up to Magnetic Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I stepped funny on a rock, and I thought I had just sprained my ankle, and I was able to hobble out, but when I got back, I got it x-rayed, and I had a little broken bone in the foot.
Owie.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be better next year.
<That's>
So
right.
you mentioned, I want folks to know about your website, and then also where they can get this book if they want to.
Yeah. You know, I'd really like to shout out a thank you to Eric Humphreys of Lake Superior Trading Post. He was he's great. You can get it there in Grand Marais. Paragis and Ely is carrying it. A wonderful independent bookstore in St. Paul called Micawber's is carrying it. There's a bookstore called Scout and Morgan in Cambridge, Minnesota. And in Wabasha, Minnesota, a store called The Book Cliffs is also carrying it. And for people who can't get to a bookstore, it's available for online purchase at www.bwcareader.com.
Okay. And is that also where people could learn more about Volume 2 and perhaps find out how they could submit their essay?
Yes, that website. I haven't opened it up for to accept essays for Volume 2 yet. I hope to within a couple of months, but I still really need to see how Volume 1 works for me.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Just my cheesy marketing line that I say that this book is light enough for a Duluth pack and heavy enough for a Christmas stocking.
Oh, that's perfect. And it is. And I have to say, I really enjoyed reading it, and the trivia questions were fun. And congratulations. It's a delightful little book there.
Well, thank you so much. I was delighted to hear from WTIP because I listened to you guys as soon as I can tune you in on the way up the shore, and I listened to you all the way back until you fade out.
Aw, that's nice to hear. Well, thank you, Barry. Best of luck with this, and we'll hope to hear from you again.
Thanks, Ann and Buck.